Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 50. Let us hear God's word. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He is calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Then the rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, your goodness and mercy overwhelms us. We are a sinful people, yet where our sin has abounded, your grace has abounded even more. Even this day, you have blessed us with the bread of the earth. But now, Heavenly Father, we ask for more blessing. But this time, we ask for the bread of heaven, that you would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Our passage begins this way. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. It sounds like something out of a Edgar Allan Poe poem, or maybe a Stephen King novel. And Matthew sets the scene for us, a scene of foreboding, a scene of evil, a scene of despair and judgment. How interesting it is that at the birth of Christ, the light from the star shone upon the place where Mary and Joseph and Jesus were. But now, at the death of Christ, the light does not shine anymore. Instead, it is darkness. For 3 hours, from noon until 3 p.m., a miraculous darkness encompassed the land. Like one would dress in black to go to a funeral, it was as if the sun was dressed in black in preparation for death. Like a little child would hide their eyes because there might be a monster in the dark. For 3 hours, the sun hid its face because the monster of darkness, the monster of death, was approaching. The whole of creation, all of creation, trembled. All of creation was put into confusion. All of creation responded in darkness. But this darkness signified more than simply the creation's loathing of what was happening. This darkness signified the judgment of God. If you remember the plague of darkness there in Egypt, the plague of darkness came upon Pharaoh because he had hardened his heart against God. Now there is a new plague of darkness, and it has come upon new Pharaoh, you and I. You and I are that new Pharaoh. This darkness has come upon because of our sin. On the day that the Lord will bring judgment, the prophets speak to this. Isaiah says in chapter 5, verse 30, "If one looks at the land, he will see darkness and distress. Even the light will be darkened by the clouds." Prophet Amos says, "In that day of judgment, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad day." They speak of the day of judgment. Christ on the cross, and the darkness fell upon the land. It was the day of judgment. It's the day that our sins will be judged by God. As the prophet Amos had foretold, the sun went down at noon, and for 3 hours, God's wrath was being poured out upon a single man. During those 3 hours, hell came to Calvary, and our Savior bore its horrors, and he did it for us. During this time, he was counted sinful. He was being made sin for us. He was suffering the curse of God for us. He was being pierced for our transgressions. He was being crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that would bring us peace was being laid upon him. He was receiving the wounds that would heal us, because God the Father was laying upon him the iniquity of us all. It was the Lord's will to crush him, to cause him to suffer. And he was cut off from the land of the living, and he was brought into the agonies of death for you and I. And it was at this experience that Jesus, there on the cross, begins to quote Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night, and am not silent. The words that Matthew, the Apostle Matthew, chooses to use, as well as from the psalmist, what King David chooses to use, indicates it is a very loud cry. You know, a dying man may whisper certain things, but he just does not have the strength to speak loudly. He must whisper what he wants to communicate to those around him. This was not the case with Jesus. It was a loud cry. A cry of strength, even. A cry of total awareness of what he is going through. It is the same wording that the scriptures used to talk about the lions growling and roaring. Listen to what the prophet Joel has to say. We are told that in the day of the Lord's judgment, the sun and the moon will be darkened, and the Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. This is the fulfillment of what the prophet Joel was speaking about. The darkness comes, and then our Lord and Savior, there on the cross, he roars, my God, why have you forsaken me? So here it is, the day of the Lord's judgment, and the Lord himself roars. He cries from Jerusalem because the judgment of God has been laid upon him. It is a roar. It is a cry of pain. The essence of Jesus' cry is the same, as I've already mentioned, of David. It is because they've lost fellowship with God. When Christ cries out that God has forsaken him, he does not mean that the human nature and the divine nature have been separated. No, not at all. But he's speaking about the human nature receiving the punishment of God. The divine nature and the human nature of Christ, of Jesus, they are never separated. Jesus even says to the disciples, "You will all leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me." So even on the cross, the human nature is not separated from the divine nature. Nor does Jesus mean that he ceases to be holy, ceases to be righteous and perfect. No, for the scriptures tell us that Christ died the righteous for the unrighteous. But what we find here is that God the Son, his two natures, the human and the divine, still united. But the human nature is experiencing the full wrath of God, and the divine nature is holding and supporting him. Because if the divine nature leaves, if he is separated from the divine nature, the human nature will collapse. And collapse into sin. So the divine nature is holding and strengthening the human nature to undergo the pain of hell on your account. Then you see, it was not the arrest. It was not the trial. It's not the insults nor the attacks on the character of Jesus. It's not the beatings and the whippings. It was not the crown of thorns that was pushed down upon his head. It was not even the nails in his hands and feet. It was not the spear that pierced his side. It was none of these earthly things that Jesus had prayed, "Father, if there's any other way, let's do that. But not my will, but thy will be done." The scriptures plainly state that he did not cry out because of his bodily, human torments. Listen to the prophet Isaiah. "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth." But we know that he did open his mouth. But he did not open his mouth because of the earthly torments that he was receiving. He opened his mouth when the pain of hell fell upon him. All the pains of the nails, the thorns and the spear, and all the beatings, they were really small in comparison to the wrath of God that fell upon Jesus. Even in the garden, as Jesus was praying, he had this on his mind. He knew what was getting ready to happen. And it so concerned him. It filled him with sorrow and fear to the point that he bled tears of blood. As a river is swallowed up into the sea, whereby you can't distinguish between the water of the river, the water of the sea, the human agony, the human suffering, though it was great, it was pale in comparison. You could not separate them, but it was pale in comparison to the wrath of God that he was undergoing. All other suffering bore upon his body But when the Father sent the power of hell upon him, he bore it upon his soul. All other sufferings came from the hands of men. But the suffering that came from the hands of God the Father, we cannot even begin to imagine. He suffered in both body and in soul. But the suffering of his soul was the very soul of his suffering. And this is the horror that Christ was praying in the garden to be delivered from. The pains of the body, Jesus did not fear, for he was a man of sorrows, a man that all his life he had been acquainted with grief and bodily suffering. But it was the pain of hell, the absence of the goodness of God, that caused Jesus to tremble. And eternity of hell was laid upon him in a finite amount of time. Within 3 hours, Jesus had paid the penalty of an infinite number of sins. You know, a poor man, if he has a debt, he has to pay it little by little. But a rich man, if he has a debt to pay, he can pay it all at once because he has that money to do so. Jesus was rich in righteousness, so he could pay our debt all at once. You think about this, please. If you were to hold your finger in the fire for more than 2 seconds, you wouldn't be able to bear it. You couldn't bear it. Yet Christ held his body and soul in the flames of hell for more than 3 hours. And he did it for you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Greater love has no thing more than this, that he laid down his life for you. This was a great thing for Jesus to undergo. He had never been separated from the Father. He had never been separated from the Father. To lose a friend in death is one thing, but to lose a spouse is a greater loss. Jesus, the human nature of Jesus, had never been separated from God the Father. Thus, the pain and the horror are just indescribable. God the Son, more than any other man, was closer and more attached to the Father. Yet he was pulled away from the Father's presence. You know, it as we look back in redemptive history, we had David in the temple, and then we had the common Israelite living in a tent. Well, to be taken from that tent was probably a great thing, a sorrowful, sad thing. But for David to be removed from the temple, the place of God's presence, was a greater sorrow. Through the divine nature, the human nature was supported. This is the agony of Christ. It was the loss of the sense of God's good pleasure. Heaven is the place of God's presence. But when the angels sinned, they were cast out. God put His presence in the garden. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they were cast out. God had His presence in the temple and with the people of Israel. But when they sinned and would not repent, they were cast out and were taken to Babylon. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God says, "My people have committed sin. They have forsaken me." It is bad to forsake God, but my friend, let me tell you, it's even worse to be forsaken by God. And that is what Jesus underwent. For 3 hours, He was forsaken by God. For 3 hours, the wrath of God was laid upon Him. And the wrath of God was laid upon Him because of His love for you. This was the experience of Christ on the cross when the Father turned His back upon the Son. That day, those 3 hours, the fires of hell came to Calvary. But the blood of Jesus snuffed them out. And it was done because He loves you. Because Christ was forsaken, you will never be forsaken. Because He was made sin for you, you will be made the righteousness of God. The comfort of the presence of God is yours because Christ underwent the pain of the cross for you. The debt has been paid in full. The sting of death has been removed, and it can no longer inject its poison. Oh, my friends, let us think about the sufferings of Christ for us. Let us be so moved by the humiliation that Christ suffered for us that we would be willing to be humiliated for Christ. Let the love of God to you drive you to love Him in return. He suffered greatly for you so that you would not suffer at all. Oh God, how gracious You have been to us. You have not treated us as our sins deserve, but as a father has compassion upon his children, so He has had compassion upon us. But He has compassion upon us because He did not spare His Son, but He let the full weight of the wrath of God fall upon Jesus for you. Let's pray.